Hi, I'm Desi Arnaz Jr. Welcome to Letting Go with Guy Finley. Guy is the best-selling author of Let Go and Live in the Now, and is the founding director of nonprofit Life of Learning Foundation. And now, here's Guy Finley.
I want to start our meeting with a few carefully chosen words to help prepare you for what it is that we're going to talk about. It is not an easy thing, this real road to a new life. Those that you meet along the way, people who talk to you about their pie-in-the-sky dreams and their quickly fading beliefs in the face of adversary, such people and ways are as a dime a dozen. They're worth exactly that. They're worth a dime a dozen. The real road to a new life, and I'll say it the way that I wish to most clearly, the real road to a life in which a human being is in relationship with the God that created him or her is a very, very perilous and difficult path. Anyone tells you differently, it's because they're trying to sell you something. They want something from you. But the difficulty, strangely enough, isn't in the path itself. Because certainly it's not difficult for a flower to open up. You don't see flowers going like that. You don't see that. You don't hear the sun groaning when it rises in the morning. How many of you? So there are so many different avenues for us to look at what we must, that the challenge is in choosing one of them. And that's the difficulty of the task for us, because I'm going to talk to you tonight about something that is an invitation to you. I'm asking you if you will look at what I'm showing you. If you'll just look at what I'm showing you. I'm not asking you to jump up and down and say hallelujah. I'm not asking you to sit in simple agreement. I'm asking actually nothing other than for you to use the time that you're listening to this talk for the most beneficial purpose possible, which is to listen openly. How many of you understand that when you were 14, 15, 16 years old, that as a rule you were happier then than you were when you got to 30 or 35? How many of you understand that as a rule? And how many of you understand that when you were 18 or 19 years old, you were happier then than you were when you got to 40 or 45 or 50? How many of you understand that? The point being that happiness seems to be a waning quality in this life. And you know, I can see some of your attitude, even as I'm starting the talk. You actually believe that the thought that says I'm happier now than I was when I was young is the same thing as being happier now. May God grant all of you the possibility of looking in the mirror one day when your face is set in the rigidity that it's set in, and you can see the cruelty that flashes through your eyes when people don't give you what it is that you've said is the course and cause of your happiness, that you can fall down in a dead faint and maybe wake up an honest human being, which is the first prerequisite for becoming a new man or a new woman in God's life. Until there's honesty, there's nothing, which is why there's so very little amongst us that's actually capable of going through and seeing what has to be seen In this instance, I'm asking you to look back and see that when we were young, here I am. How many of you remember any of your of the plans and purposes you had when you were 14? You most likely weren't thinking about being a millionaire yet, unless you were raised by truly psychopathic parents. But the odds are you were thinking about maybe the car you were going to get. You were thinking about a new relationship, maybe that girl that you want to give her your... How many remember giving your ID bracelet to somebody? Remember that? You give your ID bracelet, and you go out, and boys have to spend a lot of dough to get those bracelets. I remember, just remember that. They weren't real gold either. They turned your hand green. Do you remember that? Then you'd have to wash, and then you'd have to wash your wrist every time so no one knew it wasn't gold. Surely I digress. And as we grew and aged accordingly and had the plans that we did in order to take our part in our culture and in our social circles, we were able to feel great power at times for our plans. Because the purposes that we had, they were very vivid to us, that when we achieved the purpose we set in mind, to maybe have this car, have this business succeed, have a certain income, then maybe have a wife, a husband, a family, have a fence around a house, have your own little whatever it is, each and every one of those, climb mountain, mount whatever it is, each and every one of those things, each time the human being found that new purpose in their life, they were empowered by the purpose that came into them. And this is a natural part of the development of human beings, because human beings are born in a certain respect blind to their life. We don't understand the purpose of our lives, which is why we're so easily filled with new purposes that the world is happy to provide for us. Because if you've never noticed, most of the purposes the world has given you for becoming a happy human being serve the world by taking from you everything you've got so you can get something that by and large winds up doing nothing for you, which is why we're not happier as we're getting older, because we can see without having to strain, if we're willing to do it, that there's a diminishing line on this plans and purposes thing. That I'm not sure now what it is exactly going to do it, because I've reached a certain amount of maturity in my life and my social life, my wife, family, whatever it is. And, you know, I have been somewhat successful. Most of us have achieved certain things in our lives. And then a person gets to where they sit down and they go, all right, you know, let's have the happiness. Which you have for a moment or two when you get whatever it is that you believe would fulfill that present purpose that was there. You feel it for a moment. But it's so evident that such happiness wanes as quickly as do the conditions that allowed us to have those moments in our lives. Or the moment itself just gets old. It just seems to lose its vibrancy. And because of the way our minds are constituted, the vibrancy that we were borrowing from that idea about ourselves, it fades with that thing. And you see dull human beings walking around looking for the next thing that they'll be able to glom onto with their mind that will give them the new glow. So the first thing that I want to tell you to start this talk is that at the root of all of this, you ever had to call Roto-Rooter? Because roots get into the plumbing, you know, roots get into the water line and slowly they block it so that you don't get the flow. You know, as surely as those roots, those dark roots get into those lines, dark ideas have seeped into the human mind. And they've all but done their task. And the dark idea that I'm talking about that is seeped into the human mind, you had no chance. You didn't have a chance in heck to escape it happening to you, because the world itself is the ground of this root. The world itself is the ground of this root. And here, just to get it out, is that men and women, little by little by little, the purpose of our lives has become all kind of directed to one thing. And you see if this isn't true. I want to get to the point in my life where there's no more disturbances. Yes or no? No more disturbances. Now, what does it take to get to that point? A lot of drugs? Well, that's a path for people, isn't it? Especially as they get older. A lot of money, because if I have a lot of money, I can isolate myself from the idiots that disturb me. Of course, when you have a lot of money, then you have to hire idiots to watch your money, and they disturb you. Something I don't know about, but I have read that. I'm going to become an authority. I'm going to become a guru. I'm going to become a PhD or a double YZ or whatever it is that people set out to do. Why? Because when I get that kind of authority behind my name, nobody's going to argue with me. What I say will be so, and that'll be it. And then when push comes to shove, you just get a dog. Tell it to sit, and it still doesn't do it. And then you're disturbed. Well, have you ever wondered why people can get so angry at an animal? I mean, I'm asking you a serious question. Ever wondered why you treat each other the way you treat each other? It's ingrained in you, and you don't know it's ingrained in you. Which is a terrible thing, really. It's a terrible thing to have an idea, a purpose in mind, that the whole of one's life, the whole of one's life is set to it. Every action, every turn on of a radio, every turn on of a television, every time you try to get through traffic the way you try to get through, everything dedicated to trying to figure out how to find a life in which there is the very least disturbance there can be, because that's the answer. Get rid of him. He's a disturbance. Get rid of her. She's done nothing but interfere. Get new friends, because these people aren't cooperating, meaning they're disturbing my plans. Look at what's done. If you could just take a minute, if it was possible to see. And I want you to understand something that is very difficult, and you will push it away as soon as I speak it. This life, the purpose of this life, is not to avoid disturbance. The purpose of this life is not to find a disturbance-free existence. It doesn't exist.
Love, the brightest and most powerful force in the universe. Love melts stress and cancels resentment. It gives birth to kindness and is the fuel of success. Love is at the heart of every great relationship and is the true essence of lasting peace. In his new book, Apprentice of the Heart, best-selling author Guy Finley explores lessons in life only love can teach. This breakthrough book contains the tools you need to strengthen and deepen all of your relationships with family, friends, coworkers, and with the present moment itself. Apprentice of the Heart, available now at guyfinley.com and fine bookstores everywhere. Joseph Polansky of Diamond Fire magazine writes, "The reader is lifted up to a whole new realm, a rarefied region of the soul." To order your copy of Guy Finley's Apprentice of the Heart, visit guyfinley.com. That's GuyFinley.com. The relationship your heart longs for already exists.
When you rush, what are you rushing to do? Get rid of the disturbance of feeling yourself in the wrong place at the wrong time doing the wrong thing. When you're impatient with others, what are you doing? Trying to correct someone who's disturbed you, who's not living up to whatever it is you think they're supposed to live up to. When you think cruel thoughts about people, When you lash them with your minds, which all of you do, what are you doing? You're straightening out the person who is seen to be the seed of disturbance in your life. Why? Because I'm not supposed to be disturbed. I'm not supposed to have anything go through me that disturbs me. Those of you who are never happy where you are, always trying to figure out where you could be that's a better place to be. What do you think that is about? What do you think that is about? It's a disturbance to be where I am because I could be someplace better doing more valuable things than I'm doing here. Therefore, I'm never where I am because wherever I go, that disturbance lives in me. And you, if you examine this, if you see the fact of it for yourself, you start to realize something terrible has happened because now I'll ask you, am I getting more relaxed in life when it comes to people and problems? Do I have more equanimity towards those moments of disturbance, or am I getting wound up tighter and tighter and tighter because I'm finding myself getting further and further away from reaching that point where nothing's going to disturb me? Which is it? You know the answer. So what I want to do is I want to show you something that's going to require an effort on your part. It's going to require real work to understand how it's possible for us to begin to understand, how it's possible for us to begin to understand first that this pain, this agitation, this eruption, have you ever erupted another human being? Huh? And most of us, because of other social ideas about how we're not... I'm never supposed to be disturbed, but on the other side, I'm never supposed to show that I'm disturbed. So I'm really crazy. So I want to look at it with you. Can a garden shovel that's sitting in a shed, can that garden shovel ever fulfill, if when we're using words now, its purpose in life? If a garden shovel, I can't say too many S's, if a garden shovel sits in a shed, you can do the 10-word thing later. Can it ever fulfill its purpose? Why? It has to be out in the garden being used, doesn't it? If it's ever going to fulfill its purpose. It's the exact same thing with our lives. If our lives are ever going to fulfill the purpose for which they've been given to us, we are going to have to find out what it means to be in life. If we're ever going to find out the real purpose of this life, we're going to have to be in life. And I'm going slow here because you think to yourself, well, I'm in life. No, you're in your ideas about life that have betrayed you. It's shocking, really. A person says, well, that can't be. And yet, if I look at the evidence of my life, I'm really, by and large, not all that pleasant. I am impatient. I snap at people. I'm rarely satisfied where I am with what I'm doing. And the only times that I'm actually a pleasant human being is when I'm not being disturbed and everything's going the way I want it to go. Now, is that the definition of a pleasant human being? Or is that the definition of someone who's a prisoner of conditions that they've had to create for themselves that any change that comes along causes them to erupt? And you know the answer to that. So we're going to examine something. And what we're going to examine is this whole idea of what on earth is it that causes this moment in which suddenly there's a disturbance and a difficulty? What is it that makes us feel like, well, should we just say, how many of you are, this isn't right? You know, you're in your car and you hear some news or somebody's talking to you. It's not, you don't hear the words, but the feeling of it, the overall feeling of the moment is, this isn't right. How many of you know such moments like that? How many of you notice that you feel it when you get out of bed? You open your eyes in the morning and go, this isn't right. How many of you, I want you to, I'm, it, Can you see it? Can you see how much time is spent with the feeling of this isn't right? Yes or no? I have to go to work. I have to talk to my husband. I have to go entertain the kids. I have to go shopping. Okay, I take it back. Because that's part of fulfilling the purpose of life, isn't it? That's right. Because we see when I'm shopping, the picture I have of myself and who I'm going to be and how happy I'll be, all that's quite different. So throw the shopping one out, although it does prove the point. But here is the main idea. How can a person who, if I've made one thing clear, who wishes to find their true purpose in life, this is what's so hard to understand. Because eventually a person takes the pain that's in their life, that feeling, that constant feeling of resisting everything, this isn't right, this isn't right, that becomes a person's life. A person gets lost, actually lost in that, to where there's no question that I'm going to be negative today, because that's what life is about. I'm going to have to do what I think isn't right, and I almost have reached the point where I don't have any more ideas about what right is. I'm just tolerating it day in and day out. And I'm asking you, do you have anything left inside of you that recognizes that if there's a true purpose to this life, it can't be that you are like that. It can't be that the world is the way that it is. Although it is. And it begs the question, well, what about, and you can ask, what about me? Am I going to spend the rest of my life like that? Which at least, I'm being so generous, 60%, 65% of a person's life is spent with an interior attitude of this isn't right. I have to drive someplace. This isn't right. I have to get up and get myself food. This isn't right. Do you see the way they handle that? I mean, how could they handle it like that? This isn't right. Everything about our lives has this taint in it, this spoiler in it, that's got this isn't right in it. And I'm saying to you that if we're going to find out for ourselves a purpose in life that is not the generator of this condition we live in, under which all of the things we look at wind up saying this isn't right, then we're going to have to get into life in a different way and find a different purpose for it. And that's the whole thing that we're looking at here is what is this incessant sense of this isn't right, of this disturbance that I'm always trying to quell? How many of you are trying to always quell the disturbance? You know what I'm talking about. You know, put down, there's a riot, Your Majesty, in the left quadrant of your kingdom. Well, go crush them. Now, can you see this? Because it's an important thing to see, because it's in scale, that this disturbance business is relative. That here's a person and they're having a feeling like this isn't right, and they're in a relationship, and you look at them and you'd give your eye teeth to have that relationship. You look at somebody and they don't like what they have to do for a living, but you think to yourself, I'd give my eye teeth to be able to do that or have these things. So the whole idea of this isn't right is really a very individual affair. That's what I'm trying to get to. Even though it's rampant inside of us as human beings, the feeling of this isn't right is very, very relative to individuals. You can be out with three people, something will happen, two of them will be very negative, and one person will be sitting having a great time. It's a very relative thing. And the reason that I'm taking the pains to point this out is because we spend most of our lives trying to figure out what to do with these unwanted conditions, these moments of disturbances. And what we're looking at now is asking ourselves the following question. Is this feeling of this isn't right of this feeling of being disturbed? Is it inherent in the actual moment, in the person's behavior, in the event itself? Is it inherent in that itself? Or is there a relationship between this feeling of this isn't right regarding the event and the ideas that I have about what is right? Now, I've asked you to look at something. I've asked you to look. I say, this isn't right. Well, how do I know this isn't right? I'm sitting with somebody. They're not having a problem with what you said. Have you ever been out to dinner with, like, relatives or something? You know, and you'll be saying, this isn't right, this isn't right. And the other person just sitting there throwing the soup down, having a great old time. They're not having a problem with the conversation at the table. But you're... like an ape behind a bar, you know. You're having a lot of problem with it. It's not right. So is it that it isn't right, or is there a relationship between what you have in you and what's going on outside of you? Which is it? Clearly, there's a very distinct relationship that's the seat of this conflict. Living inside of ourselves as part of this whole conditioned life, with all of the ideas about what it means, and I hope you can put this together in your mind, all of these ideas about what it means to get myself to the place where nothing disturbs me anymore, and every one of those ideas is the seed of the disturbance. Every one of them.
You're listening to Letting Go with Guy Finley. For more information about Guy's life-empowering ideas, visit guyfinley.com. We'll be back in a moment.
One reason the wind of good fortune is often found at the back of people who are successful in life is because these individuals are usually found moving ahead of it in anticipation of its arrival. Hi, this is Dr. Ellen Dickstein. The engaging words of best-selling author Guy Finley remind us that real success in life is a relationship between ourselves and a timeless greatness that lives within us. Each week, you can receive a powerful, life-affirming message from Guy, guaranteed to help you succeed with your wish for a new life. Each brief, uplifting insight reminds you that nothing can stop you from knowing the higher happiness your heart longs for. To receive Guy Finley's free weekly key lessons, just visit guyfinley.com. Join the thousands of grateful individuals who are learning how to make themselves and our world a better place. Visit guyfinley.com. That's GUYFINLEY.com.
Welcome back to Letting Go with best-selling author Guy Finley.
Because if it isn't clear yet, I'll try to make it. What is, look, something's interfering, right? Something's disturbing. What is it that's in the way? Is what's in the way, is what's disturbing me, does it exist apart from what I have said is the only way to go? And the fact is, it doesn't exist apart from what I have said is the way. What is giving me the pain about my life at the moment is directly proportional to what I have said is the purpose of my life. And when you see that what you've said is the purpose of your life is to reach a point where nothing disturbs you anymore, and all you've done is try to get there, the more you get there, the more disturbed you are by everything. Can you see it at all, what I'm trying to get across? It's beautiful. It's beautiful because something beautiful is trying to say to you, hey, maybe you have the wrong purpose. Maybe you're going about life wrong. Now, I'm not talking about your husband or your wife. I'm talking about here I am, and I'm all the time disturbed. And my answer to every disturbance is to try to either quell the disturbance by resolving it through another plan or escape the situation in which the disturbance is taking place. And that's, does anybody have a different plan than that for their whole life? Has anybody done anything different than that? That's the answer that you, the human mind holds for the disturbance. But we have some good news. We have a new answer. And that's what we're looking at now. I said that there's no such thing as a life without disturbance in it. Now, how many of you think that doesn't sound too good? But, you know, when you think about it, you say, that doesn't sound too good. What does sound good? Oh, hating the disturbance. You know, I've not found the disturbance-free life, but the idea that one doesn't exist, I can't bear it. Life, this world, everything about it. Is actually set up so that there is a continual disturbance and a continual deliverance from the disturbance. That's real life. You can see it in scale if you ever have the eyes to see, if you look in nature. Real life is a continual influx of one order of nature. One order of energy, a continual influx of one order of energy into something that is dissimilar than itself. And that passage of energy causes a disturbance into that which it passes into. And for the passage of the uninterrupted energy into that which it passes into, that which it passes into is instantaneously changed into something else in which there will be a passage of energy into that and a further transformation across the board. The disturbance is the entrance of the energy. The deliverance is the transformation of that nature that that energy has come into. That's why there's no such thing as a life without disturbance, because without disturbance there would be no life. But for us, disturbance has a negative connotation, doesn't it? I was trying to think just before the talk of a way to tell a story about how the chief devil called together all the little ones and said, you know, let's figure out a plan. And I couldn't, I only had a few minutes because it popped into my mind late. But it would be that every time something disturbed you, you'd hear a thought say, this isn't right. This isn't right. Oh, and boy, what glee there is in hell when a human being meets the moment of disturbance that is the necessity of their purpose and transformation. And says, this isn't right. Why? Because at that point, and here's the next, take a deep breath. Resistance serves a natural purpose in this life. Think for a minute. If you've never thought along these lines, great, because we will. We'll see it. Resistance serves a natural purpose in this life. You can see it in everything that you look at. Trees would never stand the way they do. Flowers would never be able to open the way they do. Energy would never be received and nothing would be transformed because there would be an amorphous mass. There'd be nothing that existed because all things created are a formation of the opposites, passive and active, and inside of this idea, resistance. Resistance is a natural feature of life. Now, we have in us something that has become an unnatural part of life. And that is that part of us that resists resistance. It's a double negative. It resists resistance. In other words, here I am, and something happens. Anything. It could be the look on a person's face. It could be the passage of a certain amount of energy that's moving through the earth of which I'm a part. It could be anything. And in that split second, there is a resistance. There is a disturbance because that which has come moves into, in quotes, me, this energetic body. Or in this instance, how about this collection of ideas and images I have as to what the purpose of life is? And here comes a movement. There's no problem with the movement, but the movement that strikes me does what? It disturbs me, doesn't it? Now, is the disturbance bad? If the fact is that the movement of life itself, if you want a lesson direct from God, reality itself comes and it taps you on the shoulder, and when it taps you on the shoulder, you go, get the heck out of here. I'm not interested in having anything to do with you, because I know everything. Just ask me. And by the way, pour me another drink. Give me another pill. Get rid of that person that's bugging me. So here is this life that actually exists in a very beautiful balance, where something is always entering, something is always being changed, and something that's involved in all of that is actually reconciling it. So that, and I don't know if you can understand this idea, but I want you to get it if you can, that when we have a disturbance come to us, and I look out, I don't want that, this isn't right. The activity that takes place in us in that moment is that our mind instantaneously starts to figure out what to do to resolve what has disturbed us. Yes or no? And then out of that instantaneous reaction, which is resistance to this disturbance, all of a sudden, mind's full of new plans, new purposes, redefining ourselves. Because apparently whatever I define myself as being isn't going to work because I've been disturbed again. And if it isn't clear, let it be. That moment in which suddenly comes this disturbance, that the disturbance is a natural disturbance. It's a gift. It's a gift. It's a gift. Why? Because it is stirring the soul. It is showing the content of the nature that's there. It's revelatory. Because it opens up for a split second a person's awareness of the fact that within them is something that is set against the very movement of life itself. And in the moment that disturbance comes, which is a beautiful and necessary activity for a human being to develop, the split second it comes, what happens? Resistance to it. Resistance to the resistance. And when we have that resistance to the resistance, what is there? I'm asking you to look at it. Without that moment, let's just say for an example, without me, here comes a disturbance, and without me resisting it, without me wishing it weren't so, without my attitude, this isn't right, without all of the plans and the ways in which we'll punish the world or those that bring this moment to us that isn't right, what's there? What is it that's there when there's no longer the resistance to this disturbance? What's there? Well, ultimately, there is just the disturbance, isn't there? There's just pure disturbance. Now, what is this pure disturbance? Now listen, this is beautiful. It's something I can't resolve. It's pure disturbance. I can't resolve it. I've spent my life trying to resolve what my mind says is the disturbance, but it turned out just to be my resistance to the resistance. There's just the disturbance. And I know now, I see now, and I'm hoping that you'll get this point across. I can't resolve this disturbance because I am what has been disturbed.
Hear Guy Finley in person. Guy lives and teaches in Merlin, Oregon, where he speaks four times each week at beautiful nonprofit Life of Learning Foundation. Visit us anytime and hear Guy's life-transforming principles in a friendly, serene, and inspiring environment. Visit GuyFinley.org or call 541-476-1200 to learn more about friendly ongoing classes. You are not alone in your quest for a new life. At Life of Learning, you'll meet others who are also seeking higher understanding, and you'll experience the power and inspiration of hearing Guy Finley in person. Plan to visit us and take the next step in your spiritual development. For information, call 541-476-1200, or visit GuyFinley.org. That's GuyFinley.org.
What I'm trying to help you do is to get your mind finally to start seeing the whole of itself. Because that's the only way that a person ever learns what meditation is, what it means to participate in the full moment. Because the whole of this life, and this is where it becomes so challenging for us, and I pray that you understand this idea. See, people think to themselves, I am the courage to change myself. You want to know what the real courage is? The real courage is to allow yourself to be changed. That's the real courage. To allow yourself to be changed. Because when you no longer answer the disturbance with resistance to it, which is nothing other than the self looking at something and naming it in order to keep in place the images that it was identified with, when that happens, there's just the pure disturbance. And listen, and the pure disturbance belongs to a system that is already reconciling itself. Look at nature. You see a storm. This tremendous storm comes along, opposing forces, thunder, crash. Isn't the very body of the earth itself and all of the various systems involved, aren't they already reconciling themselves in the very movement of that storm? And the answer is they are. You want to know why your storms go on and on and on and on? Because you think you're not supposed to be in them. And I'm trying to get to you the idea that when a person reaches that moment in which they see how different this is. Isn't this world set up so that there's an answer for every agitation? Isn't it set up like that? If it's not to medicate ourselves, it's to plan another trip. If it's not to plan another trip, it's to figure out a new way to get a different body on ourselves. If it's not a new body, it's a new job. If it's not a new job, it's a new enemy. If it's not a new enemy, it's a new lover. And on and on and on, all those things go. All of which are and I hope that you see this and the beauty of it, not don't fear it. All of those things are futile. Because every one of those ideas, by and large, come from a nature that when it gets disturbed, simply analyzes the event according to its own conditioning, and then figures out a way to escape the disturbance when there would be nothing disturbing it if it weren't what it is. Let's try it again. I see very clearly that my principal reaction to anything that interferes with my plans for happiness, anything that disturbs whatever I'm involved in, no matter what it is. And have you ever noticed this? You can be having a bad day and someone can disturb it. Have you ever noticed that? We're really right in the middle of the worst day, and somebody comes in and makes it worse. It requires a new mind. And you don't have to, and you don't build it. You see the truth of things. You see that all of your life has been predicated upon a completely ridiculous and false premise. Not that you can prove to yourself yet that it's a ridiculous premise, but the punishment that exists in the purposes that you've defined for yourselves, all of which are intended to bring you a life in which there's no disturbance, is the same as a life that's planned for you in which there's no life. Because there's no growth. So I repeat the question, what happens when that man or that woman, there they are, they're sitting at home, and the wife walks in, or the husband calls, and the kids are doing something, or you get a business problem, or someone's not doing what they're supposed to do, or the simplest thing. Or maybe, have you ever done this? Have you ever had something that you really wanted to do the day before, and then the day came when it came to do it, and it was a disturbance to go do it? See, all of those things are evidence of a very, very particular and secretive presently nature and operation in ourselves that looks at everything as though one should never have this kind of unhappiness, this disturbance in their lives. But when we see, as we do, that this resistance that I have to life, because that's what it boils down to, it's resistance to life. To say this isn't right, to feel that. And let me explain something, because we're talking about negative emotions. You can turn on the television and see the heinous acts, oh, by the way, of human beings who are trying to create a disturbance-free world by pillaging and plundering and raping and taking everything they can for themselves out of it. You can see that, and you don't have to get negative about that to know it isn't right. It's clear that isn't right. You can see these lunatics taking like mosquitoes sucking the earth of its beauty. You can see it. You don't have to get negative about it. You can see it. And you know this isn't right, but that's not what I'm talking about when I say, when you look at yourselves and your life, say this isn't right. I'm talking about that negative reaction that comes when everything that takes place, by and large, is something that you wish hadn't come at all, wasn't taking place. You weren't with that person. You wished you didn't have to listen to whatever it is. All of that is a great big act of resistance to life. And I'm saying that resistance to life is born out of a certain set of ideas and images that have been plastered into your brain that tell you that life isn't supposed to have disturbance in it. And now I tell you that not only is life supposed to have disturbance, disturbance is half of life. It's half of it. And when that really gets clear, that all of the futility of resisting the disturbances, then a person finally understands there's really only one thing to do in the moment where this disturbance comes. One thing and one thing only. And do you know what it is? You surrender. Which allows the disturbance to do what it's intended to do, which is to let you see what has been disturbed. See, you never see what's been disturbed. You only see the disturbance. That's what resistance does. Resistance blinds you to what's actually taking place inside of you. Here comes the problem, that disturbance. The person starts to feel it. You tell me, where does your attention go in the moment of something that's irritating you? It goes on to the source of the irritation, doesn't it? And when it's identified for whatever it is as being the source of the irritation, then what's the next plan? The plan is always relative to the person or the condition that's done the problem, isn't it? And you're not in the garden. You're not present. Because when that gets abundantly clear, that this moment in which this disturbance has come is can only be met with letting go, can only be met with a person that understands, okay, I will allow this disturbance to do what it's intended to do. Then you have found the courage to be changed. Because everything about our lives now is predicated upon trying to change ourselves so that we don't get disturbed the next time. Change the other person so that we don't get disturbed the next time. Change our conditions so we don't get disturbed the next time. Instead of understanding this very, very beautiful dynamic that's taking place in all of life, and we as God's creations being in the full image of it, the center of the possibility for it, to let that disturbance be there without answering it from our past or from an imagined future. Surrendering, if you will, as best one can, so that this reconciliating force, that which resolves, it can begin to do its work within our very soul itself. The reason that people's lives are a wreck is because they're busy resolving the accidents they have. When that gets clearer and clearer, then a different kind of life takes place. One in which there is this willingness to let what must be what it is. To bear it. Isn't imagine that? You actually become a participant in bearing your own birth. And that's a fact. You actually become a participant in the birth of yourself, of your true nature, moment to moment to moment, living and dying moment to moment to moment, because you're not resisting anymore. You're letting life, as it's intended to do, as God has created it, to produce this beautiful and continuous set of energies that come in, reveal, and transform. This is, in the end, what meditation actually is. Real meditation is allowing God's life to work upon you and through you. That's real meditation. It has nothing to do with a mind that runs off here or flies off in that direction all the time trying to figure out what to do. Ever been just disturbed by... Have you ever... See, this is the point of this. You can be at home and everything can be in place and one thought can disturb the whole castle, can it? See, you must learn to let those thoughts and feelings and all of the things that come along, you must learn what it means to just let the disturbance be there and don't resist it. Don't resist it. If you won't resist the disturbance, then that which was disturbed and that which is doing the disturbing will go through a natural process of fulfilling itself. And at the end of that, you are a different human being because you've allowed God's hand into your heart and into your mind to shape you the way that you are intended to fulfill the true purpose of your life.
Hello, I'm Desi Arnaz Jr. You've been listening to Letting Go with best-selling author Guy Finley. To learn more about Guy Finley and his nonprofit Life of Learning Foundation, visit guyfinley.com, where you'll find a host of free, life-changing information. Thanks for joining us today.
Love, the brightest and most powerful force in the universe. Love melts stress and cancels resentment. It gives birth to kindness and is the fuel of success. Love is at the heart of every great relationship and is the true essence of lasting peace. In his new book, Apprentice of the Heart, best-selling author Guy Finley explores lessons in life only love can teach. This breakthrough book contains the tools you need to strengthen and deepen all of your relationships with family, friends, coworkers, and with the present moment itself. Apprentice of the Heart, available now at GuyFinley.com and fine bookstores everywhere. Joseph Polansky of Diamond Fire magazine writes, "The reader is lifted up to a whole new realm, a rarefied region of the soul." To order your copy of Guy Finley's Apprentice of the Heart, visit GuyFinley.com. That's GuyFinley.com. The relationship your heart longs for already exists.